I don't forget that. Okay, Lord, thank you for another good day. Thank you, Lord, that this afternoon was an awesome time, Father. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for all you're doing in the whole world. Lord, you're bringing those kids out from under those tunnels, what's left of them. And Lord, you're getting all the evil people rounded up. That's good. Looks like the swamp is being drained. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. We ask, Lord, that you protect the president and his cabinet and all the people involved that are doing this. We ask, Lord, that tonight you lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to speak about. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we know it don't make any difference what kind of pestilence that they unleash on the world. We have God's vaccine for every bit of it. We don't have to worry about it. And Father, we thank you for your Psalms 91 that gives us the provision and protection that we need. And that Passover protection that we have. And Father, we just bless you and hope that tonight will bless you also, Lord, in each and every one of us. Lord, let us speak only the things that you'd have us to speak and not get too involved in trying to do whatever it is that we want to do, but only do and speak what you want us to speak, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here will be blessed because of the meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this group in the Middle East that we have been talking about here recently, and that they have told us to pray for them, that the civil war is trying to start. We come against the enemy over there, bind up the faction and cast it out. Lord, we thank you for your peace upon that region. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon your people in that area as well. In Jesus' name, supernatural protection, Father. And in cases where they're being hunted, that you would hide them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for anything that's any injury that has been incurred, that we command healing upon them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that your angels are there right now. We send forth your angels over there to protect your elect over there, Lord. Every one of them, those that have been called and those that haven't been touched yet, but will in the future. And Father, we thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing over in all of those countries. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you open up schools all over that area that people think are Muslim schools, but in all reality, they're Christian disciples coming out of every one of them. And Father, we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in the Middle East over there in Jesus' name. Lord, hide them from the officials, from the Muslim officials. Protect them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight in this group. In Jesus' name, Lord, give us great and bold faith. And we thank you for this open heaven that we have, that when we do pray, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our prayers are answered. And we bind up any kind of communications interference tonight in Jesus' name, that nobody's going to have any trouble with their PCs or phones or whatever, nothing. In Jesus' name, we're going to be able to carry on a normal fellowship tonight. In the name of Jesus, I declare it and decree it, because the blood of Jesus told us we could. We have the authority over all the power of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this great group of brothers and sisters in you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we are Christ walking, talking, and doing the works that you have asked us to do, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Uh-oh, got some people over in the waiting room. All right. Hey, Charles, good to see you again. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Surely I didn't handle all of it. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'll start out. I would like some prayer for myself. just for a general tendency, obviously it must be the flesh or something or whatever that is holding it back, but I've noticed in my life a general tendency to start out, shall we say, start out big or start out thinking about something or start out a process and get it about 90% done. And then that last 10% that it takes just to put the finishing touches on it, it usually gets left out, or I'll get to it a little later. I don't know if it's a procrastination. I've noticed it in some of the things, you know, in my house, you know, or it, building or that sort of thing. I think it's just a general tendency. And I don't want that to bleed over into, or if it's part of my spiritual life, not attaining that 100% as opposed to being satisfied with 60 or, you know, whatever it would be. So, I'm just going to say that whether it be passivity or not finishing or whatever, because I see ramifications in that and being perfected or completed in Christ and dragging my feet maybe and resting in a plateau or something or whatever it would be, whatever that mindset is or that spirit or whatever that is, I just want it out of my life and so that there is a urgency within me to enter in fully and complete in everything that I do and everything in the Lord. So I know that's a very vague prayer request, but maybe once God answers that, I can get a little more solid on the specifics of it or whatever, you know. So that's all I had.
Okay. All right, let's just pray. Father, I lift up Pat to you. Lord, I know that sometimes people with a perfectionist point, a perfectionist mindset. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to go here. Everything has to go here. And then after a while, you lose sight of what the end product is supposed to be. I don't know, but you know, Lord, and I'm asking you in the name of Jesus,
yes,
to straighten out some of this thinking in Pat and in all of us, Lord, that when we start something, that we go ahead and go through each step, get it done, and forget about the rest of it. Forget about going off into doing something else and forgetting about the end result, Lord. We do that a lot. Lots of people do it. When we study the Word, we go for one subject and then we get off on something else before we ever finish the last one. I do that sometimes. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you line us up, keep us on that path that you've got us on in that particular subject, and keep us locked in on it until we finish it. In the name of Jesus, in all aspects of our life. And I ask that for Pat and all of us. In the name of Jesus. And we bind up those spirits that would try to get us off onto another rabbit trail. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that from this point on, we're going to be dedicated to finishing whatever we start. And not only that, in a timely and efficient manner. And Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do in all of us. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Is that okay, Pat? All right.
Absolutely.
Marcy. All right, anybody else with a prayer request? You know, the heavens are open. We got an open heaven here. Anything that you need, you're going to get. I didn't say everything you wanted. I said everything you need, okay? You understand what I'm saying here now. I don't get carried away wanting some kind of big vehicle. All right. What about our testimonies or praise reports? Yeah, Joe.
Well, it looks like the Lord just answered one of my prayer requests there before I came on. I see Ronnie, my coworker there. He just turned his camera on. I'll put you on the spot there, Ronnie. No, that's encouraging, you know, as I've been ministering to him this past week or so. He's newly saved, as I've told you guys, and it's encouraging to see steps like that in the right direction. So, but yeah, just to say, you know, I mean, he's got quite a testimony before the Lord got his attention and he got saved. But it's encouraging to see kind of step out, because, like, I could say for myself, you know, when I was newly saved, or when the Lord first got my attention to really follow him, you know, it was tough to kind of open up to new people. You know, I mean, it was a fearful thing, because, I mean, if you've dealt with rejection, all those things, you know, it's like, oh, I got a group of new people. They seems pretty scary, you know, but it was just, I mean, it's encouraging to see those things. So yeah, just keep him in prayer, y'all. He's got, I mean, as any new believer, you know, you got your questions, you got your doubts, and you got those things. You just
ain't got nothing but faith. That's all he got. He got the faith, man. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Pray, yeah.
Hey, listen, Joe, let me tell you something. If he's not scared of you, he can't be scared of anybody else in here.
Wow. Well,
God, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying?
That's good, yeah. Well, let's see.
Ronnie, we're glad to have you, brother. We are. Yeah. And any questions at any time that you want to ask, you're perfectly welcome to ask them. Whether we can answer them or not, I'm sure the Lord can.
Yep.
You know, we'll try our best. All of us will. We all work together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And that's the best way to have a fellowship. And no one wants somebody in charge as just somebody that coordinates things. Okay. Hi, Dirk and Paula. How y'all are you? How y'all doing? Hi, Jeanette. Hiding, Jeanette.
Hi, you guys.
Do what, Dirk? Paula?
No, I'm saying we will. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
And while I'm on here, I just also want to say thank you for last week, for everyone who prayed for me and for word given, visions given. I still need to work through a lot concerning my dad, but there's been a breakthrough, and there's definitely been a lifting of that heaviness and that spirit of pain that Marilyn prayed about. So I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, anybody else got a testimony, a praise report? Or, yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I got a two-part testimony. I went over to work on my motorcycle Saturday, and I got that bolt off, but I couldn't get it back in. So it took me quite a while, and then I called Brandy over to help me, and it took him about a half hour. He couldn't get it started either. But then he finally gave up. He said he's going to try one more time, and it went in. So we got the manifold changed, and today I got the carburetor replaced or put back on and so forth, and everything's pretty good. I just got to put my tanks on now, and that's done. But anyway, here's the second part of that testimony. I keep my bike in a storage unit, you know, so they've got a keypad to get in and a different keypad to get out. Well, when I pulled up close to going in, I could see somebody was at the keypad to come out. So I just pulled over, and it was a woman in a white pickup truck. And I could see she was on the phone, and that meant one of two things. The keypad wasn't working, and she was calling the owner, or she was just yakking on the phone, which people do a lot, you know. But then she backed up, and I opened the gate from the keypad on the outside, but I didn't pull all the way in. I just pulled in part way, and I walked up to her truck, and she said, the keypad's not working. So I said, well, when I pull in, you can pull out. It'll stay open long enough for you to do that. Well, she did that, and I pulled in. I didn't care about the keypad not working because I was going to be there for several hours, and I wasn't worried about it. I'd deal with it when it happened. But then another woman pulled up to go out, and a truck was coming in. The woman was in a car going out, and a truck was coming in. So I went to the woman and said, that keypad's not working, but if this guy pulls in, you'll be able to get out after he goes through. And so she said, thanks. And I went over to the guy, and he was about halfway in. And I said, now the keypad doesn't work to get out. And he said, well, that's all right. There's another guy coming anyway. But the after he pulled in, the woman piddled around long enough that the gate closed and she couldn't get out. So, but she said that was all right because she was going to, she was just going to run to the store and then come back. She'd just continue working. But I called the manager or the owner, and he was going to come over and fix that keypad. But anyway, I was talking to the guy in the truck. He happened to be a vet, a Vietnam vet. And, he was giving me a whole list of things. He had a one of them things that makes his heart run. What do they call those? Defibrillator or something. They put inside your body to keep your heart going.
Pacemaker.
A what?
Pacemaker.
A battery.
Yeah, pacemaker. Yeah. Anyway, so. But he was listening. He had diabetes and some of this and some of that. And he banged his leg, and he had a big old knot on it, and it was real hard. And I said, well, we could pray about that. You know, God could heal that. So we got to talking anyway. So I gave him a God's vaccine book. I said, this is not specifically about that. This is about the coronavirus. But the principle is the same, you know. If you
get it's the a principle good book on it, faith. You know.
But anyway, I asked him if he wanted me to pray for him, and we got into about an hour long conversation, and he was telling me about how he was in Vietnam, and you know he had 274 kills, and two of them were with his bare hands, you know. And he talked about coming back and being at a bar that a friend of his was running the karaoke, and this professor said, "Oh, a baby killer. We got a baby killer among us, you know." And this guy just smashed his head into the bar, you know. He was really kind of set up because of that. And so the professor said to the bartender, "Well, you got to call the police." And he said, I have to call the police on you because you instigated it, and you could just leave anyway. So that was good. But anyway, we got to talking about the Lord, and he had a little biblical background, but I was encouraging him to read the book, and I think he's going to, because he had questions, and I tried to answer them, you know, as best I could. And it was just a good time. It was a good time. Yeah. And then eventually I asked him how his leg was, and he said, I said, "Does it still hurt?" And he says, "Well, it seems a little bit lighter now." I said, "Well, you got to hang on to your faith, you know, keep believing that God's going to heal it. You know, not all prayers are instantaneous. Some of them you have to keep your faith and hang on to it and keep believing." So it was a really good conversation. And then his friend showed up and helped him move. And the owner showed up and fixed the keypad too. So Amen. Everything was cool.
You gave him that verse in Second Condominium that says, "Thou shalt not press the professor's face down into the bar."
Well, I could understand why he did it, but
okay.
I don't agree with it. Well, but then, obviously he was saying, you know, the Jesus teaches about love, you know, so he's overcome a lot of that.
Well, praise God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's had how many, 40 years? He should have made some progress.
We hope.
It was a very interesting conversation. So.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him on into the kingdom.
Yeah, I'm praying that he ultimately comes into to truly know Jesus. And I explained to him about the real good news, you know. And I said that's the truth of the Bible, not what these people preach around here. So anyway, that was good.
Good testimony. Yeah, Sue.
A few days, well, off and on for about a week, I've had trouble with my car starting. It would go, you know, I'd turn the key, I'd let the gas come up, but I'd turn the key and it would go rrr, rrr, like it's not going to start. And then it finally would start. And then even after I drove it for a little bit, it did that again different times. And so a couple days ago, I went to turn it and I gave it some time for the gas to fill up. And when I turned it, at first there was nothing. Judy heard, she was up, I was at my car, she was upstairs, and she heard click, click, click. She knew I was going to work on, you know, going to go to the store or something. And so she prayed, and I went to turn it again, and it finally went on, you know, but it was kind of roar, roar again. And so then the other day I just asked for prayer for my car, and you know, asking about it and stuff, and we prayed about it. And yesterday, and even today, I started the car, and it just went like there was nothing wrong. Went vroom. I didn't even give it much time for it to fill up, like it, you know, to get the gas pump going. I just turned it, and it just started like there was never any problems.
Thank
you,
I
thank
Lord.
The Lord for healing my car.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. She's got a 1948 Continental or something like that. I forget what model it is.
That's a Lincoln Town car. It's a 1994.
Oh, okay. It's a little bit newer than I thought it was. Okay. All right. I'll bet it rides good. All right. All right. Who is Marcy? May I ask?
Marcy
Marcy, is that the way you pronounce that? You'll have to unmute yourself to talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed beyond my wildest dreams, girl. How you doing?
Very, very well. I'm actually a girl from Colombia.
Oh, okay.
You talked to someone very close to me who was asking for prayer about international retirement villages.
Okay.
Last week. He came to do business here, and he introduced me to the Lord maybe 2 months ago. And I've been reading your books. One of them, The Sovereign God, I think. Sorry, my accent. I'm just Colombian, so.
Oh, that's okay.
And
I'll speak all languages.
Okay. And yes, this is my first time here. He told me you have these calls and you get together and you pray for each other, which I found very, very, very beautiful. So I'm trying to be close to the Lord. It's hard because I was Catholic. And I'm just like, what he told me so far about the Bible, I haven't had any knowledge of the Bible, to be honest. And I'm starting reading it, and I feel much better than I was now. I don't have any anxiety. I used to suffer from it.
Praise God.
He prayed for me, and since then, I feel renewed, and I'm very, very happy at the moment, and I just want to follow this path.
Okay. Now, who was it that brought you, that talked to you about?
His name is Charles, yeah.
That's okay, Charlie.
Yep. So, yeah, he's a very, very...
Well, he's on here.
He's there, yeah. He told me, are you going to join the call? I'm like, yes, I'm going now. So,
awesome.
He's like my spiritual mentor, I'll
okay.
say.
All right. Well, praise God. We're glad to have you. You come anytime. We go Tuesdays and Thursday nights.
Thank you.
At the same time.
Sure will. Thank you so much for everything you do. And I'm reading what you wrote, and it's very inspiring and trying to understand everything, but I'm getting there.
Well, you come to these fellowship and you have any questions, you feel free to ask them at any time. And I'm sure somebody in here can answer it.
Thank you.
We've got a lot of loving, good Christian men and women in here, brothers and sisters that are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. So just feel free to do what, you know, ask whatever you want, whenever you want.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good to have you. Did I pronounce your name right, Marcy?
Perfectly.
I told you, I know all languages. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming. We're blessed.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Charlie. You have something you want to say, Charles? I can't hear you. You don't have any audio. You're unmuted, but I can't hear you. You got an audio problem there. Check you. Can't hear you. Oh, go ahead now. No, that was Leon. Hang on, let me mute him. Can't hear you. Mm-mm. Check your settings on your in your deal there. Make sure you do. You have a headset on? Nothing. Down at the bottom on the left-hand side, at the bottom, there's a microphone icon that has an up arrow. Hit that, and it gives you a list of the things that of your audio stuff. Make sure everything is clicked just right. Nope, not yet. Sometimes when something like that happens, if it's not your settings, that you have to go out and come back in to get things back like it's supposed to work. I don't know if that's your problem or what. I don't know. All right, anybody else? We had a wonderful discussion Saturday night about diapers. That's as far as I'm going to go with that. I don't want to hear no more about diapers.
You weren't supposed to tell on me.
Oh.
It depends on what you want.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. my. Yeah. Zip it, Missy. And Julie. And Lana. Yeah. All right. Any more prayer requests or testimonies or praise reports? Has anybody got any comments about anything that's been happening in your life or in the world? Yeah, Leon.
Hey, did Don send you that picture of what's it, Planet X?
I don't guess. I hadn't seen it if he had.
Well, he sent it to David. It was Dr. Sam, and he sent that text to David, and it had a couple of pictures of that Planet X.
Oh yeah.
And he sent me a copy too. I just wondered if you got to see it. It was all in Arabic, the report was. And then it had a couple of pictures towards the end. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I like that thing that Barry sent me this morning. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah. Are you going to share it with everybody?
Well, if I could find it. Oh, I think it's in my email. Yeah.
I could pretty much quote it.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it says that, you know, that Joe Biden's been in the Senate for 44 years, Chuck Schumer's for 38 years, Pelosi for 32 years, and
Maxine Waters for 28 years.
Maxine Waters, there you go, for 28 years. And they think Trump has destroyed the economy in 3 years.
Yet they blame all of America's problems on Donald Trump, who's been in office for 3 years. I thought that was quite telling. The news media ought to be bringing that up every time that they talk to one of these people. They ain't going to do that. All right. Anything else? We need to pray about anything. Anybody got anything that we need to pray about that's been on your heart?
Hey, Michael.
Yay, Leo. Phil.
I've had this pretty serious back pain, lower back pain. I don't know where it came from or what I did to cause it. And I just can't pray it away. I believe it's healed in the name of Jesus, but it's...
Is Lana sitting right there?
Being stubborn. She sure is.
All right, Lana, put your hand on where his back has been hurting him, because we're fixing to pray that thing out of here, because we got some power in this room.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus right now, I command that pain and feels back to go right now in the name of Jesus, and I command whatever's causing it to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Phil's back is healed right now. Now, Phil, I want you to do something you couldn't do a while ago. In your back, bend over jump up and down, whatever, because you're healed, brother, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory.
He'll have to jump out of the car very, very quickly because we're 2 minutes from home.
So okay.
That's great. In a couple minutes, yes.
That's great. Don't do that right now, Phil. Don't do it right now.
We might cause more problems than we asked for.
We may have to pray some more here shortly.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep, you're done. It's done, brother. It's done. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That is a done deal for Phil. Thank you, Father, that he is healed. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anybody else? You raise your hand, Missy. I saw you raise your hand. Yes, I did. I saw you raise your hand.
Okay, what do you want me to say?
Well, I thought you were raising your hand, really. All right. Well, I guess we'll get into God's vaccine. Okay.
Michael, I'm back on.
Okay.
Charles Russell.
I know. I can hear you, but I can't see you. You on your phone or?
I know. I'm on the phone. I couldn't get back in on the video, so I called. Oh, but that's okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that Marcy is in our Bible study, and it's amazing what God has done. She just moved here from Australia. She's originally from Columbia, but she moved here a few months ago. She is seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she's gifted. She actually losing some of the gifts already and hadn't even got a prayer language yet. It's amazing. She's part of this revival starting down here.
Awesome. That is awesome. Well, I can tell you there have been a number of people baptized in the Holy Spirit right here in this fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
So anytime she's ready, we'd be glad to pray for her. We know God
Amen.
Will do it too.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right.
Amen. Well, thank you for letting me share that.
Hey, anytime, brother. Anytime. Now, you're down there too in Columbia, aren't you? What? Do you mind giving us the name of the place there?
Yeah, it's Medellin, Colombia.
Oh, yeah, Medellin.
I'm the one that called you last week about our company. We're building some condos down here.
Yeah.
And we're waiting on the investors to approve the funds. My brother and I came down here. Actually, I'm here. He's still in Atlanta, Georgia. But I'm down here to get it started, and we're just waiting. We feel like God has called. In fact, we know God has called us to do this.
Yeah.
It's a ministry for – it's a help ministry, if you will, to support ministries. That's our game plan. So just keep us in your prayers. You already prayed to continue to believe with us if we don't get the approval from the investors. We're waiting on that. And once that happens – yeah, we'll start construction.
Amen. So are you building a large, is this a large project? Or?
Yes, sir. It's 1,440 condos. It's a huge, huge project.
Gracious.
It's a big one.
That's a big one.
And, awesome. And we've done it on faith, Michael. I mean, there's nothing but faith. We ain't got any money, but we just did all this on faith, and God has just opened door after door after door. So keep us in your prayers just to, so we keep food on the table as we're waiting for the money to come in, because we've done it all on faith. It's just been amazing. It's going to be a testimony, I tell you.
That's the way God loves to do it, too. That's the way he'd love to do that. I often tell about the time that John G. Lake took off to South Africa with nothing in his pocket.
Yes.
And that was an awesome experience. And, of course, there's been other people done the same thing, I think.
Yes.
Oh, what's the guy in Oklahoma? Lester Summerall. He was in Indiana.
Lester Summerall. Yeah.
When he
I'll tell you a story. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. When he went to go join Carter. What's his name?
Yeah.
I can't think of it right now. But anyway, lots of people have done that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lester Sumrall actually went over to England and spent time with Swift Wigglesworth. Many years ago. You know,
yep. He sure did.
That was a tremendous story. But anyway, I had the pleasure of listening to Lester Sumrall years ago before he died. And he was 75 years old. And he told me when he was 70, he told God he's going to retire. And he said, God, I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years. I'm going to retire. And God said, oh, no, you're not. What do you mean? He said, I've trained you all these years for your last call. And he said, really? He said, what's that? He said, I'm going to put a bunch of money in your pocket. And I want you to buy a plane. You're going to be taking supplies and so forth to Africa, you know, so. At 75 years of age. He's never finished with it. Amen.
Yeah. I had a...
Amen. I didn't mean to dominate the conversation. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I had a friend of mine, Curry Blake, who still is the overseer of John G. Lake Ministries down in Dallas. And when he first became a Christian, he saw Lester Sumrall down there in Texas somewhere. And he asked him, he said, I'd like to come see you. I've got some questions to ask you. He said, well, what's the question? And he said, I'd like to know what God's will is for my life and what I'm supposed to do, you know. And Sumrall told him, he said, you be in my office at 8:00 Monday morning and I'll tell you, I'll give you the answer. So he loaded up his wife and kids and took off to South Bend, Indiana. I think that's where he was. And Monday morning. And he walked in there. It's many years ago. And he walked in there and he said the secretary was sitting right there and Mr. Sumrall's office door was open. And he said, she told him, he said, I'm here to see Mr. Sumrall. She said, well, just go right on in. He's in there. And so he walked in there and said, Lester was in there writing something in his big desk. You know, he was writing something. And he laid his pencil down and he looked up at Curry after about 5 minutes. And he said, to know the will of God in your life, read the Bible. And he said, amen. To know what God has for you, do what the Bible says. Then he picked his pencil back up and went to writing. And Curry said, I got so mad. I said, I spent all that money to come up here and that old man told me that. But he got to thinking about it. He got to thinking about it. He said, well, that's right. And he said he stayed up there. He stayed up there with Mr. Sumrall for quite a while. And learned all he could from that old man for you know, quite a while. Yeah. But anyway, that was an interesting story that Curry told me years ago.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
I used to go to church at Lester Sumrall's Stone Church in Chicago. That was before he started C Broadcasting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a kid, you know, a teenager.
Wasn't that 18-something?
Huh? 18-something. Yeah, right around the turn of the century.
Amen. Well, that's cool. I used to watch him on TV when I was a heathen, you know?
Yeah.
Like years ago. But anyway, he was a fine fella.
Yes, he was.
All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share before we get started here? What time is it down there, Charles?
It is 7:50.
Oh, okay. So you're just a couple hours behind us.
Right, 7:50. So,
yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Well, I can't remember if I asked everybody to pray for my daughter, Angie. I know on the morning meeting I've told everybody, but I couldn't remember whether I've said anything to this group or not. She had a a couple weeks ago, she had a dog. She was petting a strange dog, and he licked her nose. And by Sunday, there was a bacteria that was eating her nose away. And they sent her to a hospital in Indianapolis, IU. And they gave her antibiotics and stuff. But she's got a third of her nose gone. And she's having trouble breathing right now. I mean, she can breathe, but it's just the whole issue is going to be a hard issue for her. She has to go, she has to quit smoking, which I believe the Lord wants her to do that. And if she quits smoking for 2 months, then they'll operate, which will be several surgeries. But I'm praying and standing that the Lord's going to heal her before that time, so they don't have to go, she doesn't have to go through the operations. I believe when she quits smoking and starts calling out to him the way she's supposed to be doing, that he's going to start working on that nose. So Lord, I thank you for healing Angie's nose, and I thank you that she's going to come closer to you through this ordeal that she's going through, and I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us to a point to where nothing else matters but him.
Yeah.
And when they do that, then you're going to see miracles. You're going to see Amen. Miracles.
Well, that's what I think. This has happened because of that. I think that he's going to really do a miracle
Amen.
Here.
Amen. I believe it.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Somebody else, raise your hand. Okay. All right. I think we're on page 125 in God's vaccine book. I'm a thinking, if my thinking's correct, and it generally is.
It's 124, the last paragraph.
You sure? Because I got the last paragraph on 125, Mark.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know. I'm just saying, because it's been a while since we've been back in this book.
That's what I got also, 125, the last paragraph.
Okay.
And I had my paper flipped wrong.
Okay. Amen. All right. What we're doing, Charles, and I don't know if Marcy's still in here. No, I don't see her. She had to go, I think. But we're in God's vaccine. And Julie. Anyway, we're in God's vaccine on page 125. Down at the bottom. I don't know what page it is in PDF. Does anybody know? Here comes Dave. All right, so the smaller group began to quote verses from the Bible, and they began to sing a song. Our voices thundered so loudly that the dark army began to retreat. These are the people on the right. These are the sheep. They did not have the courage to come out or come against us anymore. Lucifer, filled with rage, turned to those on the left. And those on the left are the three-quarters majority of the Christian. You, who all of your life have been trying to please two masters, because you could not stand against me, I have the power to destroy you. And David says, that's true. He's been given that power to destroy people who are in unbelief. And in these end times, we have very little time left to learn to walk in the kingdom of God. Satan's going to be cast down. He knows he has a short time left, Revelation 12, 9 and 12. He's going to fight furiously. He and his army and the people whom they inhabit are going to come against us with great fury. But we have a weapon that they can't resist. The problem is that far too many of God's people don't use that weapon. They don't use the promises of the Word of God. The Word is our sword, and the demons can't stand up to that. We see here that those people who all their life tried to serve two masters had no protection. They tried to serve both self and the Lord. and they were double-minded, like it says in James 1, 7 and 8. They were found to be lukewarm, and there was no protection for these people, Revelation 3 and 16. Now, what he's talking about is that Dimitri's Dudeman's revelation, I guess we ought to read that, as we should have read that as well, of that vision that he had. But anyway, it's all about what's going to happen to the apostate religion. That's the people who have shook the preacher's hand. The preacher told them everything's okay. All they got to do is put the money in the till every week and everything's going to be fine, you know. And all they got to do is come to church, listen to him. But what does God say? That's what you need to know, is what does God say? Where am I here? Okay. I think we're going to get into all of that here in a minute. When they're trying to serve self and they're trying to serve God all at the same time, that's a lukewarm Christian. What happens to a lukewarm Christian? They get spewed out. You don't want to be in that particular group. And that's why we do what we do, isn't it? We listen to the word. We discuss the word, and we walk the word out. You got to be a doer of the word as well as a reader of the word, a studier of the word. You got to get it from here, to the heart, to the spirit. All right, David goes on. He says, has anybody got any questions or anything they'd like to add to that paragraph there? All right. Saints, I'll just let you know right now that you need to get your armor on, you need to be on fire for God, and you need to learn to fight. How many of you know you have to fight your battles yourself most of the time? You have to fight your battles yourself. And if you don't learn to fight your battles by yourself, you're going to lose, you're going to die, and you're not going to be in faith. You can't have somebody else fight your battles for you all your Christian walk. You have to get up, get that armor on, which is the word of God. Get that armor on and fight those battles yourself most of the time. Yeah, Missy?
That's not saying that you can't get somebody to agree with you.
That's right.
You know. Because one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. But, you know, you got to exercise your faith when you get someone to agree with you. You can't just fall back and let them do all the praying for you. You know, you gotta swing your sword too, you know. You got to put on the full armor of God every day. And that's just putting on Jesus, because Jesus is the word, and that's what the armor is the word, so.
Yep. Amen. What happens a lot of times is when a Christian first gets saved, God does mighty miracles for him. And then after a while, the Lord wants them to start picking up the prayer life themselves, that battle for themselves. And he'll stop doing miracles for them when somebody else is praying for them. And then he'll want them to believe for themselves for those things. I've seen that happen many times, many times. Newborn Christians and people like Baptists that come into the knowledge, people that don't have this teaching that we have, are easy to pray for healing or deliverance or something like that, because God honors their commitment to want to learn the whole thing, you know, the whole Bible rather than what they've been taught. And he'll do miracles for them. But for people that have been in the Word for years and always hunting around somebody else to pray for them, somebody else to pray for them, somebody else to pray for them, because that one there didn't do it. That one, that preacher didn't have the power to get me healed. No, ask God showing you that you need to pick it up yourself and do it yourself. Pray for yourself. Start believing for yourself, because there's going to be times when people aren't going to be around you. You're going to have to, in the days to come, you're going to have to rely on your faith to help people. You can't help somebody if you can't help yourself. When you pray, as I'm talking about, you know, you got to rely on your faith. Look, the biggest problem I see with people is they don't want to get in the Word. That's why you build your faith up, is getting in the Word of God and putting that faith in you. That's the only way to do it. That and praying in the Spirit all the time. That's how you do it. You get in the Word, learn the Word, and put it in your spirit. Boy, he'll give you authority. Ooh, like you ain't never thought about. It happens. All right, let's continue on here. Saints, I'll just let you know right now that you need to get your armor on. You need to be on fire for God, and you need to learn to fight. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. It don't say some of them, it says all of them. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ooh, my, God has put a lot of authority and power in our hands as a disciple of his. I like what David says in some of his studies. He says, you know, people call us Christians. You know, you ask, are you a Christian? You know, that word is kind of a loose term now. Anybody can be a Christian, you know, in today's terminology. But how many of them are disciples? Because a disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ. That's somebody that walks in his footsteps. That's what I want to be. Ain't that what y'all want? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Anybody got anything they want to add? Well, I'm liking this faith business, don't y'all? I like the faith message, because we base our whole Christianity on his faith. Did you have something, Judah, or were you just agreeing with me? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay. You got you, girl. Awesome. Okay. In this revelation, when Lucifer said, I have the power to destroy you, who gave him that power? They did. The people did. They are the ones who have authority on earth to bind or to loose. And here, they have loosed Satan because of their unbelief, their double-mindedness, and their lukewarmness. He then ordered his army to attack. It was a total, I'm talking about Lucifer, it was a total massacre. The ones on the left could not defend themselves. Could you imagine that three quarters of Christianity could not defend themselves right now? Yeah, I can. David says, yeah, I can. It seems fairly obvious. One by one, they all fell. This killing seemed to go on for a long time. David says, I believe that this killing is not just physical, but spiritual, because many of these people are going to lose their eternal life. That's what's at stake here, is your eternal life. And after a while, we could actually smell the stench of the dead. Why could they not be protected also, someone asked. The angel answered, because all their lives they have been lukewarm. Because of their hypocrisy, the true church has been blasphemed. That's speaking, of course, of a quarter who went to the right, the sheep. They had been blasphemed. They had been accused by the world because of the hypocrisy of the false church. The three quarters of the people who went to the left, they have brought disrespect to the word of God. And it's true. Today we see people just scoff at the word of God. Even Christians scoff at the word of God. In the midst of a trial, you may share the word of God with them, but they'll choose to cling to the idol, the stronghold in their mind. And they'll choose their idol instead of 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I remember one time, I'll never will forget this. I knew this was a man and a woman, a young man and a woman that had a young boy that had gotten cancer. And they were Baptist. And the father was a elementary school principal. And I loved them. They were good people. And some people had asked me to go up there and pray for that young man, that boy. He was probably, I think he was like 8, 10, something like that. I forget. It's been many years ago. And I went up there and I asked the dad if I could pray for his son. And he said, yeah, go on in. I said, he's in there. And so I went in there and I prayed and I prayed. And I went back out and, I don't know, it was probably a month or so later, I had been asked again to go back up there. Something had changed in the boy, and they wanted me to go up there and pray for him again. I said, okay. So I went back up there, and I asked the wife then, and she said, no. I said, no, you don't need to go in there. I said, just stay away from it. And so I thought to myself, that's the same type of attitude that this religious spirit has on people that believe that man can do better than God. Now, they took that young child all over the world trying to find a cure for him, and he finally died rather than just believe in God. Now, I had already seen at that time many people with terminal cancers healed by God, terminal cancers. And this kid had the same thing, you know. I knew God's going to heal him if they just believe. But that spirit, that religious spirit, kept them from getting a blessing from God for their little one. Now, I'm not saying that the boy didn't go to heaven. I know he went to heaven, you know. He's just a sweet kid and loved the Lord too. But anyway, that's the mindset of this lukewarm Christian, because they'd been taught that all their life. I don't even know where I stopped. Was that at the top of 128? Okay. Anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to ask? Okay. Satan has been able to set up a stronghold in their mind because they're worshiping false gods. They have a false Jesus, as Paul said, 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. That false Jesus cannot save you because he's not the Word of God. The true Jesus is the Word of God. The true Jesus is our sword. He can save, and he will save all those who respect him. All through the Old Testament, God warns us about the danger of worshiping idols. And it's sad that so many Christians today worship a Jesus that does not exist. Their Jesus is nothing more than demons. Leviticus 17 and 7, Deuteronomy 32 and 17, 1 Corinthians 10 and 20. That they have set up as their idols and they will not save. Satan does not cast out Satan, as Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 12 and 26. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? If you are following, worshiping, and putting your faith in a false Jesus, he will not save you. Antichrist means not only against Christ, but also in the place of Christ. The devil likes to replace the real Jesus with a false Jesus, because that way, when you put your trust in him, he will fail you. And this is what's going to happen in the days to come. And according to Demetrius' dream, three quarters of the church is going to have their Jesus fail them. God does not answer when you trust in your false Jesus, because then you would be given credit to your false Jesus, and other people would trust in this false Jesus too. Amen. Praise God. Anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Missy.
A few days ago or so, I was praying for some people, and what David's talking about here hit me, you know, and the Lord told me to pray against Antichrist spirit. Because he showed me these things, this that David was just talking about, you know, another Jesus, a different spirit, and, you know, a different gospel. But it's the Antichrist spirit, and I don't recall that I prayed that way before, you know, in that respect, but. And I believe that was a key for praying for these people. So, amen.
That's why the tribulation is coming. Is to bring God's chosen out of the apostate religion. Where they, well, Jesus doesn't heal anymore because we got doctors now. He gave us doctors to heal now. Well, you know, if Jesus did that, why do we have almost 500,000 people killed by doctors every year? God don't make mistake. Now, why would God have doctors to do the healing when they make so many mistakes? No, that's not the truth. God didn't bring doctors on the planet to heal us. That's why he wants us to believe what the Word of God says and deliver us and to keep us and to protect us. All those things God will do for each one of us. And all he wants for us is just to believe what the Word says. And Missy's, that Antichrist spirit is pervasive in the church today. It really is. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I would just share a little bit how I really didn't even know what faith really was until I left the church and started listening to the truth and learned through this ministry, through the UBM ministry, what faith was and how faith worked, and with a lot of what this revelation that we're reading about that Dimitri Dudeman had is, you know, that so many, well, all of them really, they don't know how to exercise faith. They don't know how to pick up their sword. They don't know how to use the Word of God. They don't know how to study the Word of God. And sadly, they listen to all of the their leaders behind the pulpit, and they listen to, you know, their church ministries, whatever, you know, groups they belong to, and they listen to man's interpretation of the word. And that's just a huge revelation to me, is when I really learned what faith is in the Bible and how to use faith. And, you know, I didn't get it all at once. I had a lot of, I gained a lot of knowledge, but then having to, you know, learn to fight and learn how to pick up my sword, learn how to use the Word of God and not back down to the devil, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like. And it's a progressive thing. You don't, you know, God, we fall down many, many times, but God keeps picking you back up. So I would just like to share that. That's that the church does not teach, the apostate church does not teach what it is to live by faith and what it is to learn to use the Word of God. I mean, they are where they are, and I'm not condemning them. I was there too, but you know, it's that teachers don't, they can't, they, you know, anyhow, we're all there. And anyhow, I just realized how blessed I am that God gave me that.
Amen. One thing that I did, and this is for you new Christians too, one thing that I always did when I prayed is I always prayed that, Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived. Please don't allow me to be deceived. And he took me out of the Baptist church, out of Church of God, out of Assemblies of God, out of all of those types, out of the independents, until finally he said, now why do you want to go back? Just read the word and study the word. And that's when I came across David. Go ahead, Pat.
This is a question for Julie. So, Julie, you, I'm not sure what background you came out of, but what, obviously it was in some sort of a church or whatever, but so what compelled you to look further?
I'll try to make it real short. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was brought up in the Lutheran church. And when I got older and in my teenage years, and after I was confirmed, I didn't want to go back to church anymore. So I didn't. I just went out into the world and got dirty, and still considered myself a Christian because that's where I was brought up and that kind of thing. And then the Lord brought me back to church after he saved me. I knew I needed God, and he brought me back to church. And I went to a church that my brother had recommended because he knew this pastor out here who was on television and all that. He's a big name. Well, anyhow, I just like, okay, well, I'll go here, you know, and I found the church, and God really blessed me there, and he had me there for 5 years. And during that time, the Lord started opening up my eyes. And he gave me a gift to, eventually he gave me a gift to really want to know him and to seek him and to pray and learn how to pray and learn how to use the scriptures. And I did a couple of self-study Bible studies that I was given, and God just wooed me in that, and he just set me on fire, and I was studying the end time stuff, and learned about the pre-trib rapture in that church. I didn't really know about it before that. I learned about it in that church, and Lord started showing me where it was wrong, and the timeline wasn't working. He showed me the scriptures. I'm like, why don't they see this? Why can't they see this? And I was praying for the pastor. And I was like, why doesn't he see this? The Lord, open up his eyes. Why don't you see this? And it wasn't long after that that somebody introduced me to the Unleavened Bread Ministry website. And this person was in the church I was at. And, you know, there was a handful of us who were really hungry for Jesus. But so anyhow, why I started listening to the Bible studies on EBM. And I knew I was hearing the truth there. And I knew where I was at, didn't have it. And Lord just told me to leave. And that was one of the hardest things I ever did. But all my friends were there. And I walked away from that.
Amen.
So in a brief nutshell, that's kind of how I wound up here.
I was thinking about, you know, when Michael was talking earlier and giving some examples, I think, and the scripture that came to my mind was, or that the time when Jesus went into a town, I don't remember where it was, I have to look it up, but he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And except the funny thing about it was he said, except heal a few folks. And I thought, not even the apostate church of the day would, you know, they couldn't even do that. But and Jesus thought it was a real ripoff that he could only heal a few folks. But just the power of their unbelief. And it makes me wonder if, because what Michael, what you were saying about, you know, that's exactly what the tribulation is about, is that God is raising up an opposition to that apostate, false Jesus organization that many people park in and find their life of Christ or whatever they would call it. But there's no, we are in the midst of, I guess, the Laodicean church of today, where we are rich and have need of nothing. And so God's going to raise up that harsh opposition to wear out, to show people and demonstrate to many that they don't have what it takes to continue on and overcome through that process and walk with Jesus. And now, and the thing of it is, so Julie, at some point in her mind, made the decision, you know, didn't like what she was seeing and decided, now I'm heading out into the world. But something within her turned, I'd let Julie speak, but she saw that wasn't where I wanted to go. That's not where I wanted to, that road was not taking me where I wanted to go. And inwardly, she wanted to know God. And I don't know if it's in the church today, I feel that in this organized structure that we're in, I feel that there are people in the midst of that, ignorant as they are of the true word of God, inwardly still want to know the reality of God, the real Jesus. And I hold on to that, thinking, knowing that even in the midst of this opposition that is coming to shatter our misconceptions about what real God is, that even in the midst of that, people are going to respond and want to know the real God. And so I was just questioning Julie, because there's something there that, you know, in her, she turned. She wanted the true God, and the Lord led her. So I don't know. I just thought it was good.
I'll just share. I can't take credit for any of that, because I know what I was before God saved me. And I know He put it in my heart to cry out to Him to save me, because I didn't like who I was. I didn't like where I was. And that's what a lot of this tribulation, even this pandemic and all the things that go bad in the world, you don't need God until you need God. I was fine. I was doing fine until I wasn't doing fine.
Amen.
But, you know, I grew up, I mean, I'm grateful to God that my parents made me go to church. At least I had something, where some people just don't have any of that. And I know it's all God. He was the one that did it. He was the one that drew me back. He was the one that let me get out there and get dirty and get in trouble, and gave me the understanding. It's like I needed Him to change me. But He let me suffer for a long time, you know. But it's kind of like the prodigal son in a lot of ways. A lot of it, you know. You don't realize what you have until you don't have it anymore, and you're not hearing from God, and your life's in trouble. And that's what God's got to do, shake up people, and that's why He's going to do it. There's a lot of idols in this world. People have their own way of doing things to fix things, and I don't need God, and I am God. You know, there's a lot of mocking of God these days, but this also is going to, God's going to use all of this to turn people to Him, and He knows who His elect are, and they are going to come out, and He's not going to lose any of His own. They are going to come out.
Amen.
Because their pastors don't have the truth.
No.
Agreed. And
the people that are hungry for God, you're exactly right. When they find they got some little man out there that knows God, that loves God and has the power of God all around him, bringing people back to life out on the streets, you know, and they look back at their church and say, how come we ain't got that in our church? There's something wrong with this business. And then they'll go to this guy and say, where, how, what, you know? And that's where they're going. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have a lot of people coming out of those places and finding the real truth of the gospel from those people. Yeah, Julie. That's why we got to be ready.
Right. I think another thing too is when all these bad things that are happening, and these people who have been taught the pre-trib rapture, and they're going to realize that, hey, we're still here. How come we're still here? And they're, you know, why are we still here? We're the tribulation started. This has to be it. And they're going to all either seek and run after God for the truth and leave those churches, or I don't know how God's going to use it all, but He's going to use this.
He will. That's why He's doing it. He's bringing tribulation to shake the church, to shake the people loose from those false Jesuses that they've been preaching for so many years. There's going to be some come out. There's going to be a lot that don't. But that's okay. God's going to get His people out of it. Anybody else? Yeah, Paula?
I'm just reminded of a dream concerning this false Jesus topic. I had a dream long time ago, and I can't remember the exact detail, but there was a statue of Jesus, like the typical paintings they always do in the religious setup. And it was out of stone, it was gray, and it was something with, he had the cross on his back, and I think he was on his knees, and in agony and in pain, and it was the statue. But when I saw it, I was so glad, I was so joyous because of the sacrifice, and what it paid for me, you know, and I was, I think I was playing like David, you know, I was playing in this, you know, in the Bible before the Lord and singing and dancing. And as I danced and sang, and I was just so happy for the sacrifice, the statue came to life and he looked at me, but it was so evil. And he was so angry at me for being so glad about this. You know, it was like he was looking at me and saying, how can you be so glad? I'm in so much pain and suffering and whatever. And when I saw that, I realized it's not the true Jesus. You know, Jesus will never look at me that way. I will never be angry for me being so glad, you know, for his suffering. Not glad that he suffered, but what it has bought us, you know. And yeah. And then I just ran away from that. But this now just came to mind when we read this, and it's quite a visual, you know, of a false Jesus. And I think for me as well, the Lord just said, you know, that will be one of the characteristics, is that there will be joy. Yeah, true fellowship with him is joyous. It's not, you know, yeah, the spirit of heaviness.
No, it's happy. It's happy time. Amen. Yeah. When people realize that they've been in a false religion, they're gonna flock to Jesus. Did you have your hand up, Judy?
Sue does.
Yeah, all this talking about what we experienced when we were starting to touch the Lord made me think about the time when I was 14 and I got saved. I asked the Lord in my heart, and I was going to a Methodist church. That's not where I got saved. I got saved at a Baptist youth meeting. But when I went to the church in the Methodist, I had gone to the Methodist church before, but I just did not feel anything. There was like, I felt, I couldn't explain at that time until after I got saved that I started to understand. Cause when I went back, it was like, it was dead. Something was missing. And this new pastor came in, and he, for some reason, and I think part of it was because I got saved, the word became more alive to me. And then he was there a year, and then they put another pastor in, and then it was like the life was gone. But I think the one pastor that after I got saved, what was there, I believe he was a believer. I believe he was born again. Because when he spoke, the word became alive. And later on, when I got away from, I still didn't know the Lord very much, but I got away from being, you know, going to church and stuff. And so I wasn't really serving the Lord because I didn't understand him and I didn't know him. But then the one thing that a friend of mine said to me, she said, well, come to the church where I'm at. And I said, I didn't feel drawn to go there because it was another denomination. And I told her, I said, I don't, it's like I wanted to have the life of the word come to me and not in death. And that's what I'm trying to bring out, is that it's like when the word is alive, it's going to reach us. It's going to touch us. When it's not alive, then there's a problem, you know? And that's what I saw. And that's what drew me to the charismatic church, because of the people there were believing all of the word and not just part of it, and they were alive in Christ. So that's basically what I want to bring out.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I'll just add to that. A lot of people in the church has idolized the pastor, and they respect what he or she says over what the Word of God says. And when I was still in the church, and I was God was giving me revelations of things that He was showing me, and I was trying to show my friends, you know, people I studied with, you know, we had Bible study, we had fellowship, we did that, and I was trying to show them what God was showing me, and they wouldn't receive it. You know, it's like they would say, well, no, a pastor says this. And it's like, but the word says this, you know. And that was just another thing God was just showing me about. At the time, I didn't put it all together. But it's like, there are definitely people who have a respect of persons over the word of God. And that's very dangerous, but that's what they are. And that's where they are right now, unless God allows them to repent. And when I did come out and left that church, and a lot of those people were my friends and stuff, they were surprised, and they were sad to see me go and that. And I tried to bring the real Jesus back to them after I found out more about him and the truth, and I knew it was real, and I knew he healed, and I knew he did all these things. And I tried to share that with them, and they still wouldn't receive. So it's kind of like, you know, you don't have where Jesus said it, where he went back to his hometown. He couldn't do very many mighty works there because of unbelief. And, you know, a prophet is without honor in his own country, in his own, around his own kindred, in his own family. You know, people who know you, they can't receive that. It's like, how did you get this knowledge, and how did you do these things? And, you know, they can't. That's how they saw Jesus, because it was his hometown. They knew him as the carpenter's son, right? That's how they knew him. And yet here he was within anointing, and they were not able to receive it. And I think, you know, I've tried to share things with my own family too, and I get a little bit, you know, here and there. I get step, you know, closer and try to share things, and sometimes they're able to receive. But it's a progressive thing, because there's just so much unbelief, because they haven't been taught the mm-hmm. truth. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what God's going to do, is to shape things up for them so they will want to know the truth.
Like you said earlier, Julie, they don't know what faith is. They don't have a clue what faith is. They think that faith is just believing that Jesus died and went to heaven for me. He's up there at the right hand of God, and I'll be up there in the sweet by and by, you know, all that kind of stuff. They don't understand what faith is. And that's why early on I found out what faith was, because of that guy that prayed for my healing. I said, this is different than what I've been taught in this church. It is awesome. Once you grab a hold of that faith and understand what faith is, they really can't teach you anything else, because they don't know themselves what it is. They don't even know what the promises are. Yeah, Julie.
They're teaching the letter of the word, because they don't have the mm-hmm. baptism of the Holy Spirit to teach the spirit of the word. They're,
yeah. Amen.
That's a big part of it, too.
Yep, that's the big part of it. Big part of it. But praise God for this ministry. And I'm not saying that David's the only ministry, because there are other ministries out there that teach the same thing. They're few and far between, but they're out there. And I just praise God for the teachings that we've all got, and can grab a hold of this thing. And I'm going to tell you something, Ronnie, Zach. You're going to grow up real fast in the Word of God if you'll do exactly as the Word says. And don't worry about what somebody says it says. Just do what it says. If it says lay your hands on somebody and pray for their healing, put your hand out there on them and believe that God's going to heal them. Yes, that's all you have to do. You know, and stuff like that will grow you up faster than anything. You stay with people with like-minded belief, that believes the whole Word of God and not just a portion of it. When you get somebody that has the whole Word of God and not just a portion of it, that believes that he can walk in a town that's full of coronavirus and not be affected by it. That's somebody that's got faith. That's not scared. It's got a mask on. It's got gloves on. It's got oxygen coming to it. You know, all that kind of myth. You don't have to do that. You just go in there like John G. Lake did that time when the bubonic plague hit South Africa. Him and another guy was the only ones that was out there pulling people just plumb eaten up with the black plague. And the people, the emergency people finally got there, the doctors and all of that finally got there, and they found these two men out there pulling all these diseased bodies out of the way. And they said, what is, do you have any kind of a protection? He said, yes, I do. Praise God forevermore, you know. And he'd tell them what it was. It's the law of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me that keeps me protected. And that's the way we are. We don't worry about that stuff. You know, we try to go ahead and do what the authorities tell us to do until it goes against God. I'll tell you something I thought about a while ago when we was talking about this. Do y'all know who killed Jesus, don't you? It was the apostate church. And that's the same thing that's going to happen during the tribulation. It's going to be the apostate religious people that kill God's people. They're going to come against us in a way that you couldn't imagine. Well, I'll tell you what. All you have to do is run after Jesus with all your heart, and you're going to see what most of you have already seen it. Most of you have already experienced it, that people in your own family are going to come against you. When you decide to surrender all to the Lord, you're going to see people that you never thought would turn against you. So, but Jesus said the rewards will far exceed anything you happens here on this earth. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I had someone say to me, you know, okay, if we're praying for household salvation, and it says there in the scriptures that Father will basically Father will be against Son and Son will be against Father, kind of thing, and that, you know, and the enemies of you, they shall be enemies, those of your household shall be your enemies, something, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, my thought was, okay, that's for a time. If you're believing household salvation, that's only for a time. To me, that's before they come to the Lord that they do those things. Because we're praying for them, and that's only for a period. But, you know, I believe that, you know, like you're just saying, many of our family members have persecuted us or come against us or whatever, and they're going to repent once they come to the understanding, you know.
Well, that's true. That, and it don't make a bit of difference to us if it's on their deathbed, because we'll be able to spend eternity with them. We'll be able to, and that's what we have to realize, is it's going to take some of these people that we've been praying for, it's going to take a catastrophic thing to change their mind. But we've been praying and we're believing. You just have to pray and believe. You can't look at what's going on in the natural. You have to stick to the Word of God. Stick to the Word of God. You have to endure in your faith to the end. To the end of what? Until you see it happen. Julie, I'll get you in a minute, Andrew. She had hers up first.
I'll be brief. I'll just add to what Missy just said was if in the scriptures, I can't remember exactly where it was, but how Jesus' brothers even mocked him and didn't believe him as well. Yeah. And yet I think they were in the upper room with them at the end. So, you know, that was, you know, and Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for his elect. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, mine's similar to what Julie just said. I mean, you're praying for family salvation. You came out of that family and went into God's family. So if God can do it with you, he can do it with anyone in your family.
Good point. Very good point. All we have to do is have the faith, right? And then how do we get that faith? God gives it to us. God gives that faith to us. as we read and study the Word of God. Amen. All right, anybody else? Tim, was you going to say something? You look like you're fixing to hit something there. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Judy.
Well, the Lord's working on me too with this thing with Angie's nose, because yesterday my other daughter, oh, mother, she can't breathe. I don't know. She sounds terrible, you know, and she's going on and on. And I really did, fear started coming in on me, and and I had to really fight it. And I'm a lot better today. And I mean, she's breathing the same like she was yesterday, but because I've just knew I had to go, couldn't just keep there where I was at, because that was really scaring me even. So the Lord got me out of that. So I'm back into where I should be. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, something like that happened to me today, Judy. I got a call from home back in Arkansas, and my great-grandson fell off the back deck onto the asphalt, hit himself right in the head, little two-year-old, and he's not quite two, I don't think. Anyway, hit his head on the thing, had a big pump light on it, and they was just going crazy, you know. Just absolutely nutso. And what are we gonna do? I said, just hang on, let's pray. And we prayed, and I prayed the prayer of faith and all that stuff for the boy. And I said, now, don't worry about it, he'll be all right. Yeah, but, you know, I get all that. So, nope, just gotta believe what we prayed. We prayed this, you know. And of course, my granddaughter snatched him up and headed to the hospital, you know, and got up there. And while I was talking to my wife, and I said, just be calm, everything be fine. The boy is fine. Don't worry about it. He's fine. Yeah, but he got a pump knot on his head. Da, da, da. This could happen. That could happen. This could happen. I said, no, I can't. How come you can't? I said, didn't we just pray? Well, yeah. I said, do you believe God can heal? Well, yeah. But. But just, you know what but means. Y'all know what but means, don't you? But means, I don't believe a word you just got through saying. Here's what I believe. That's what it means. And I told her, just be calm. Everything's going to be fine. Well, she got a call from Tiffany. Everything's fine. The doc said, ain't nothing wrong with it. He said, he's fine. Everything's fine. He got a pain. He's, you know, of course, they probably doped him up and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know how that went, but I do know the boy was fine. That's where we have to show people what it is to be a child of God and not get all upset about things that happen around us, you know. Because when you let fear come in, where does faith go? Out the door. It goes out the door. When you allow fear to come in because of what you're seeing with your eyes or hearing with your ears, that faith goes out the door. But it's when you got your eyes locked on Jesus that your faith comes in. And it holds you in the Word. When you hold in that Word, you're gonna see miracles. You're gonna see miracles. Praise God. Anybody else? I hope this is helping some people. Okay. Satan has been able to set up a stronghold in their mind because they're worshiping false gods. They have a false Jesus, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. David says that false Jesus can't save you because he's not the Word of God. The true Jesus is the Word of God. The true Jesus is our sword. he can save. He will save all those who respect him. All through, listen, there's something I heard, I don't remember who said it, but they said this. They said, oh, I do too. It was Milton Green. He said this. He said, if the gospel that you're listening to goes against any part of the Bible, get out of it. If the gospel that's being preached to you goes against any part of the Bible, get out of it. It's a false teaching. And I agree.
Michael, where are you at? I'm lost.
I'm on page 128, first real paragraph where it says Satan has been able to set up. You see that?
Yeah, but didn't you read that already?
Well, I may have. I don't know. Did I?
I thought we were over on 129, the first full paragraph.
Well, is that where we are? If that's where we are, I don't mind jumping over there. Is that where we are, Joe? Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Y'all needed to hear it anyway.
I was just like, I was trying to follow along. I'm like, where'd we go?
Okay. I'm sorry. When that happens.
Okay. He went back a ways. That's okay. So.
I fell back. Is that what you're saying, Julie?
No, you went back to catch up.
Okay.
Okay. I lost where you were too. Thanks, Missy.
Yeah, really. All right. When that happens, when their false Jesus fails to save them, people accuse God. They complain. But I believed. No. They didn't believe because their faith was in a false Jesus who couldn't save. Satan will never cast out Satan. The angel went on to say of those who were killed by Lucifer's army, they were not clean. You have no authority to swing the sword unless you're clean, unless your conscience is not condemning you. 1 John 3:21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. The devil conquers those people who are walking in sin and rebellion and defilement. Even though they intellectually know all about faith and how it works, they're not able to use faith. It takes faith to swing the sword. If you're unholy, the devil picked that point of uncleanness to jump on you and condemn you so that you can't have faith. Then he goes on with Demetrius' vision, I guess. As we continue to look, we saw the sun coming over the horizon. David says, I think that represents the coming of the Lord. And back to the vision, the black clouds began to break up and then they disappeared. Only one was left. The one on which Lucifer and his army stood. Lucifer looked at me, shaking his fist, and said, I will destroy you even if I have to throw my spear at you from here. Then that cloud disappeared. As I looked around, I began to see faces that I recognized from among our group. I saw a pastor from Bellflower, another from Indiana, one from Michigan, as well as many of my American friends. The first thought that came to my mind as I awoke was that this had been the last fight of the devil against the church. If we remain faithful, we will be victorious. Yes and amen. Amen, we will. We'll be victorious. Anybody got any comments? I guess I better stop right there. We're about to run out of time here. Amen. Well, that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be good. It's going to be nice. It's going to be an awesome time coming up, folks. That's why we're going through all these trials and tribulations that we're going through. God is preparing his bride to help other people come into discipleship. And I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that we're fixing to see some stuff here that's going to yeah, Julie says butt means double-minded. Yeah, it does. I think we're fixing to see some stuff here that's going to bring out the best in God's people and the worst in everybody else. Anybody got any comments or any questions? Yes, Julie.
Back on the other page in 129, where in that paragraph where it says that their false Jesus fails to save them, where it says down that they, Satan will never cast out Satan. The angel went on to say, those who were killed by Lucifer's army, they were not clean. It says, you have no authority to swing the sword unless you are clean, unless your conscience is not condemning you. And it's like we cleanse ourselves, but like a lot of times, like when I first came to the Lord, when we first come to the Lord, we don't realize how dirty we are and we don't realize where we need cleaning and stuff. But as David has shared, and we can all testify to that, you know, there's things when you came to Jesus that you immediately got cleansed of, you immediately got delivered of things that you used to do because God was cleansing you. And you know, when you stay in the Word of God washes you clean. And when you repent of all the sin, that washes you clean, and that makes you to be not condemned in your heart. And that's what gives you the boldness and able to swing the sword.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else before we close out? Man, it went by fast tonight, didn't it? Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for preparing our hearts and giving us faith. We want everything that you can give us, Lord. We want it all. We want everything that our hearts can receive from you, Lord. And I know that you'll give us everything that we can stand. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for doing that for everybody. I ask, Lord, that you fill us up right now with your Holy Spirit. So much so that there ain't nothing left but you, Lord. There's nothing left but you. Everything else is out the door. Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but the Holy Spirit. Nothing but God. And Father, I thank you for that for every one of us that wants it and receives it. And thank you, Father, that tonight is a change for everybody that wants change. Tonight will be the night that we stand in faith. We stand in great and bold faith because we believe what your word says. And Lord, I thank you that this will be a surrendering of all of our selves to you, Lord. We lay ourselves on the altar, Lord. We don't want any more of us. We want just you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing that. You are burning out the old chaff. And you're replacing it with nothing but you. So that we can help out in the times ahead, Lord. So that we can put a smile on your face when we go out there and do your works, the things that you've led us to, the people that you've led us to or will lead us to show them the signs and wonders that you're going to put on your people, Lord. I just praise you, Lord, for this time that's coming ahead. I praise you for right now because it's been an awesome time. You know what, Lord, we come into the kingdom thinking we can do this, we can do that. And when finally we come to the end of ourselves, we just lay ourselves on the altar and understand that we can't do anything without you. We can't do one thing without you, Lord. And it's going to take you to bring us through. And I thank you for instilling that in every one of us, Lord, that we come to the end of ourselves and just allow you to take over and guide us and lead us and speak through us. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, too, Lord. Put your protection around about the president and all the white hats out there. And Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in him. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you run somebody in front of him. I'd like to see you translate David up there to talk with him. I know we've had dreams that that's going to happen. But I ask that you do that, Lord, or somebody like him that can go up there and speak to you and give you the truth in a way that you'd listen, that the president would listen. And I thank you for doing that, Father. We've had dreams that you're going to save the president. And I believe it. And I thank you, Lord, for continuing the dreams, the warning dreams, and the dreams that and the visions that show us what's fixing to happen. And Lord, I just praise you for all you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this ministry that gets out the gospel to all over this world, all over the world. And I thank you for all the wonderful people that make it happen too, Lord. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this outreach, Lord. It's always been a blessing to me to come on here with my brothers and sisters. I thank you for that golden cord, that golden thread that you're running through our hearts and pulling it all together, Lord, that we'll be in one accord. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, folks. Let me get everybody.